The first African-American settlers in Tucson came here as a way to escape slavery, but equality and true freedom was still a long time in coming. Today, only a few symbols of Tucson's segregationist past remain, but next we'll hear how one of them, Dunbar High School, has been reclaimed and is now offering opportunities instead of taking them away. Kimberly Kraft reports.
The earliest African-American settlers arrived in Tucson in the 1850s, many homesteading at the base of Sentinel Peak, one of the only places where they found a welcome. Well into the 1960s, they were denied home ownership in many neighborhoods, and those who followed remember the pattern of established segregation.
Well, Tucson was a segregated town. You know, the schools were segregated, the theaters were segregated, the restaurants were segregated. I mean, we were part of the South, you know, so that was what Tucson was in those days.
Cressworth Lander remembers those days, attending the Dunbar School from 1931 until 1940.
It was brought about by the state legislature in 1912 when they decided to segregate blacks and whites by state law. So we had Dunbar, but we had one magnificent group of teachers, and they cared about us, and they nurtured us, and they gave us that drive to do something in life.
In those days, African Americans' options, including work only as maids or custodians, Morgan Maxwell Jr., whose father served as Dunbar's principal from 1940 to 1946, says that teachers impressed upon their students that education would set them free.
And so we all pushed for education here at Dunbar because we felt education was the only way out.
Tucson High School had long accepted black students, though they were segregated from white students, with some exceptions. It was Superintendent Robert Morrow who voluntarily desegregated Tucson School District 1 in 1949, and the state legislature made it official in 1951 by repealing the segregation law.
We always had hope, and at the time I was at Tucson High School, some of my best friends were white. In other words, I got along very well with them, and I still have a good relationship with some of my white classmates at Tucson High School.
We're going to write a poem right now. It's called an auto-bio poem. It's a very
Today, that
poem.
Hope is manifest at the high school, where students learn about their history and African-American ethnic studies. For junior Nick Trice, the Martin Luther King holiday holds special significance.
The class that we're in, like, I know it's mostly African-American kids, but like, there's a few people that aren't African-American in there, and if it wasn't for him, maybe we wouldn't all be able to be in that class together.
Even though students now share the same space, they are aware of the importance of shared experience.
People don't know their history. That's what it is. We have these programs at Tucson High, the ethnic studies and RASA studies, all this other stuff, but people still haven't realized that we have these programs and they don't know their history.
This is not a barber school, Peter.
Lander and Maxwell have worked to correct that, helping to establish the Dunbar Project that has so far raised $3.5 million to renovate the former school into Tucson's African-American Cultural Center. Today, the building hosts a dance studio, culinary arts classes, and a barber college, and plans include a future museum. Lander says we can't provide for our future without understanding painful memories from the past.
Whether you're talking about social or economic, it doesn't matter. All happens when you start to recognize the truth and give people the kind of relationships that make people grow and do better in their community.
Kelly Langford expresses gratitude to those who laid the groundwork for African Americans in Tucson. Although he has witnessed a lot of progress, as director of the Tucson Urban League, he notes the gaps in educational achievement, political representation, and the high percentage of African Americans incarcerated.
So have we done a good job? Yes. Job well done, but there's a lot of work still that needs to be done in this community.
Students find the challenges especially daunting, making their way in that no man's land between youth and maturity.
I think it's a lot harder on teenagers because they're not yet a child, but they're not yet adults either. And they have to collide, they have to mix their worlds together, and I think that's a lot more frustrating than anything.
Langford believes that the answer lies in forming and maintaining community partnerships that offer opportunities to young people. He, like others in the community, takes great hope in the election of our 44th president, Barack Obama.
You know, when President Obama was elected, I called my grandson and I said to him, "You can no longer be the first." He said, "Grandpa, but I can be the second."
That sense of optimism has infected Tucson High students, where Nick Trice looks forward to a future as an actor. He hopes to realize the dream of Martin Luther King and win roles based on his ability and not his skin color. For Arizona Spotlight, I'm Kimberly Kraft.